Want to fill you in on where we've been this season of Lent. We've been looking at some of the ways that fear can grip us and hold us back from fully living the life that God calls us to. And we've looked to Scripture and some specific individuals each week that has shown us something about facing these fears through the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. In this week, we look at kind of the granddaddy of them all, the fear of death. And we look to this man, Jairus, to help guide us closer to Jesus. Don't be afraid, just believe. Jesus' words to a man with a dying daughter, not just dying, but word has come, she was dead. Don't be afraid, just believe. At that moment, as his heart sinks to what perhaps would have been the lowest point in all of his life, Jesus speaks these words to him. In those seconds that seem to last for hours as his mind swirls so fast that it stops working. What? Jesus had gotten distracted. They were right. I'm not going to bother him anymore. Wait, is Jesus talking to me again? What did he say? Don't be afraid. Just believe. In that time when words don't really cut it, Jesus gives him something far more significant than words. Now, if this came out of any one of our mouths to someone at a moment in their life, it might seem like we are being trite or just saying something to break an awkward silence. But it is Jesus who says, don't be afraid, just believe. What is he saying? Faith. Have faith. When things are about just as bad as they will ever get, Jesus tells us to not be frightened. Jesus tells us to have faith in him. And if we believe that this Jesus is really who he said he was, if we really believe all this empty grave stuff that we'll talk about next week, if all of this silliness that Christians have held to for some 2,000 years has any weight, then yes, in the worst that life can hand us, we need the words of Jesus. Spoken not from his lips to our ears, but from his heart to our heart. Don't be afraid. Just believe. This event with the synagogue leader Jairus comes long before the day that we held up today, remembering Palm Sunday. We'll make more of a connection between those shortly, but I want to think about Jairus, who in this position as the synagogue leader would have been a man of means, with a lot of social capital. Compared with others in his day, he was very well off and not likely to lack in anything significant in his life. But as he stares at the great equalizer of death, he knows that he is no match. All of his wealth, all of his influence, none of that matters in the face of the loss of his daughter. So scared for the life of his ill little girl, he reaches out to the one that he knows is able to heal. Not only does Jesus give him an audience, but after hearing his pleas, Jesus begins to follow him. There is some hope now in the face of his fear. Maybe this healer will be able to save his daughter before it's too late. They get on their way, but there is a large crowd to get through. And as Jairus pushes through, he checks back often to make sure that Jesus is still with him. Then all of a sudden, as he checks back over his shoulder, he realizes that Jesus has stopped. Jesus has stopped and is talking to another woman. Jesus is engaged with this woman, perhaps even giving her the healing that Jairus was so desperate for in the life of his special young woman. Jesus doesn't see this woman as a distraction. Oh, but Jairus is beside himself at the delay. And this is when word reaches him of his worst fear and his world stops spinning. Your daughter. Jairus, your daughter is dead. Believe? What will faith get him in that moment? The girl is dead. Faith? But this is not faith with a lowercase f kind of way. This is not just close your eyes and make a wish on a star and maybe somehow it might get better. This is capital F, faith. This is looking to Jesus Christ in knowing in your heart that if you let Jesus, he can hold you no matter where the next step may lead. He will be able to be with you, and you will deal with it by his power, by his strength. And while death is about the biggest, baddest fear that we will face on this journey of ours, these words of Jairus from Jesus, words that can just as easily be for our hearts, can really apply to any situation that we find ourselves walking through. Any of the fears that we've considered, and even those that haven't made this list. Jesus speaks them again and again to our hearts as we call upon him, as we grow in our capacity to trust. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Scripture promises us that Jesus is our perfect priest. Not only can he bridge the gap between us and God, but he can relate to our trials and our hurts. He knows temptation, and he sees fear, and even faced this fear of death as we find him in anguish in the garden before his Father in prayer. We know that because he lived on this earth, because he laughed and he loved, we know that he lost a parent and friends. We know that he was betrayed, deserted, and rejected. Jesus knows the places that our fears come from. And most significant, as we face the fear of death, is the reality that we remember this Holy Week, particularly on Good Friday. We remember that Jesus died. Yes, we know the end of the story. We'll celebrate and party around that next Sunday, but let us not hit the fast forward button between today and next Sunday, because we can't skip the events that we remember in worship around this week. We must walk this journey with him, because we need to remember as we face the fear of death that Jesus Christ died. We seem to have lost something significant in the last 50 to 100 years. I'm not anti-science at all, but the advances in medical abilities have been closely connected with the same time that particularly us as Christians have seemed to have lost the art of dying that we once had. People have always feared death, but in our culture today, we have done what no other culture has ever done in human history. Medical advances help us to hide from death as long as we can. We avoid talking about it as much as we can. And not only does this seem to have an effect on the healthiness of our grief, but this is true as well. It hasn't stopped us from dying, right? I'm pretty sure that each and every one of us in this room will one day eventually face the reality of our deaths. I think Jesus calls us to say that we don't need to hide from death because he has been there and done that. And so he knows how to navigate it with us. It is also significant that in dying, we are told that Jesus defeats death. Whatever was true for people before Jesus died is no longer true for each of us who trusts Jesus and has faith today. Jesus died, but he doesn't just hang out in the tomb for 3 days and wait for Easter. But he goes to the depths of death. He goes to the depths of the spiritual world, and we are told that he defeats hell in death. In victory, he takes the keys. And beyond that, Revelation 20 tells us, promises us, that one day even death and hell will be destroyed by his power and his victory. In the early days of Methodism, one of the things that Methodists were known for was, quote unquote, their happy deaths. Methodism's founder, John Wesley, had doctors remark to him that his Methodists didn't die as other people died in their day, that they seemed prepared and ready in a way that others weren't, as they faced the inevitableness of their own deaths. We don't want to face the reality of death when we're young because we think we're invincible and nothing can slow us down. We often don't want to face the reality of death as we age because it becomes too real for us as we witness it more and more often. And maybe by ignoring it, we can buy some time. But what was true for John Wesley's day is still true for us today. And he wrote a letter to an unhappy woman where he said, "Do you never think about death? Why do you not? Are you never to die? Nay, it is appointed for all men to die. And what comes after? Only heaven or hell. Will the not thinking of death put it farther off? No, not a day, not an hour." A hospice professional reflects back on a young mother in her 30s whose fear of death held her back from really being able to do much of anything in preparation for her family before she passed. This person shares that her fear would not allow her to let me assist her in the writing of a letter to her child to read as he grew older, to have our bereavement counselor act in writing a letter to that child, or to make a videotape where she might share some memories with him, or even to record her voice in reading a story. She would not consider any of that because she could not face her death. We do not dishonor faith when we contemplate our deaths. While faith is to lead us to life, to take the occasion to think about our spiritual standing before God will allow faith to grow deeper in our hearts. The more fully we know and understand our experiences of Jesus' grace and love in our lives, the easier it will be for our faith in Christ to be there for us in the hours that we most need it. As Jesus approached Jerusalem on that day we remember today as Palm Sunday, he was pointing ahead not just a day or two to an earthly kingdom that was starting, but to the heavenly kingdom that began as he took the throne next to his Father and our Father when he ascended into heaven. Palm Sunday reminds us of the victory of our King. And that victory was not against the powers of the earth, as they suspected as they waved their palm branches that day. But it was a victory over the spiritual powers. Victories over hell and death. Jesus overcomes death, both spiritual and physical. Why do we fear death? There are lots of reasons. It's likely that it's a little different for each of us, but I suspect that some of this plays in to our fears. Maybe our fear of death is because we don't like pain and illness. Who does? Perhaps it's fear that in getting older, we might be more dependent on others. It is most certainly tied to our fear of the unknown. Maybe death scares us so much because we fear being forgotten. Maybe we shy away from thinking about death because maybe there's a part of us that has doubt, that doesn't really believe that eternity with God is going to be as mind-blowing as Scripture sometimes whispers that it might be. The good news is that we don't face this fear alone. That God isn't just with us in that time of transition from this life to the next, but that Jesus walks with us even in our doubts today. Psalm 55, verse 4, lets us know that God will hear our cries, that it's okay for us to share with Christ where our fears come from and what we really believe, as the psalmist reflects this. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Jesus will sit with us. He will hear us. And he will offer these words to our heart. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we live in fearful times. The seriousness of this world and where it invites us to go is not likely to change anytime soon. But Lord, what does not and will not ever change, even after the troubles of this world are gone, is the reality of your presence, the caring of your love, the greatness of your grace. Lord, help us to sit with you as you so willingly offer us the invitation to do just that. Help us to sit with you in all of our fear. Help us to sit with you and admit our doubt, that we may find your comfort, that our faith in you may grow, that we may know that it is possible for us to not be afraid and to believe. May this be so, because you are so. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.